This is Jean McMillan interviewing Joseph P. Cleveland at his office, 303 Sharon Road, Salisbury, Lakeville, Connecticut. The date is September 24th, 2012. Mr. Cleveland is going to talk about his family, his work as controller for the town of Salisbury, and some wonderful ghost stories.
Just hold it. Talk into it.
You're going to be asking me...
I will be asking questions, and it should pick up both.
Okay.
What is your full name?
Joseph P. Cleveland.
And your birthplace, please?
My birthplace was Sharon Hospital.
And your birth date?
12/25/61.
A Christmas present.
Yes.
And your parents' names?
Georgia Cleveland and Hubert Cleveland.
And do you have siblings?
Yes, I do. I have an older brother, Hubert Jr., Richard, John, James, who's deceased, Carol, Beverly, and Mary.
And you're the youngest.
I am the youngest.
What's your educational background?
I attended Dutchess Community College. Well, I attended Salisbury Central School. I attended the Housatonic High School. I attended Dutchess Community College, and I graduated from Central Connecticut State University.
With what kind of a degree?
What does it say on the wall over there? I can't see it. I've forgotten. It's been so long.
CPA.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know when your family first came to Salisbury?
I believe it was in the 1700s.
Bradford Cleveland, who married Eunice Farnham?
Could have been.
According to Lucille Murray, that was the first one. And he bought a lot of land...
On Town Hill.
On Town Hill.
Which is currently the Belcher Farm.
Okay. Did he buy any land along Cleveland Street?
I don't know if he was the one that purchased that, but somewhere in the family history we did own substantial land down there.
And there's a street named for your family, Cleveland Street.
Correct.
Do you know anything about the lumber mill, the sawmill?
Not too many, just the stories of they used to log the property up on Town Hill Farm, which is currently Town Hill Farm, and they used the lumber for the lumber mill down on Cleveland Street.
Town Hill Farm is on 112?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to switch now to your job at the town hall. What is your job description?
Well, I'm the controller for the town of Salisbury. I handle all financial affairs for the town, but I'm also in charge of various technology, help with equipment purchases, grant writing, basically if anything that no one else wants to do.
I know what that's like. How did you get the job? Did you apply? Was there an ad in the paper?
There was not an ad in the paper. I stopped by and saw the first select at the time, who was Buddy Trotta, and told him I was interested in leaving where I was currently employed, and I had a job there within 2 weeks.
And what year was this?
1994.
Now, you've worked under four different select people.
Buddy Trotta.
All right. What was his management style?
He was pretty much hands-on. He would go out and take care of things himself, and he was pretty much not a loose gun, but he was a sole kind of manager. He took care of everything.
And then came?
Then came Bob Smithwick, and he allowed his department heads to run their own way and do what they wanted to do.
Then came?
Val Bernardoni. Val was very much trickled down. He was on top of everything, but he had no problem delegating work. But he knew what you were doing.
That sounds familiar. And you're working now for Curtis Rand.
Correct.
And what's his management style?
Similar to Buddy Trotta. He's very independent. He likes doing everything himself. He considers himself an old school resident, very hands-on. I don't want to say Yankee-ish, but he likes handling everything from top to bottom.
It works. Who's head of the town crew now?
Donnie Reed.
What does the town crew do?
The town crew mostly maintains the roads, but they also do various repair work. They replace small bridges for us. They replaced the bridge over between the Lakes Road. They're currently right now working on putting in drainage around Academy Building, the courthouse. They do everything. They help within the town hall. They take our air conditioners out. They help move chairs.
They work with George Kiefer too, don't they?
They do tree work too, sure. George, some of the larger trees will have a company come and take them down, but our guys will haul the trees away. So, you know, they do a lot of outside maintenance. Lawn mowing, do a lot of the outside maintenance.
Who actually signs the payroll?
Usually it's the first selectman and the treasurer.
Now, you're not the treasurer, are you?
No, I'm the assistant treasurer. The current treasurer is Shirley Hurley.
And so there's two people that sign the checks.
Correct.
And that would be for all of the town employees, including the education department?
No, the Board of Education, the checks are signed by the chairman of the Board of Ed and the treasurer.
How many staff are in the town hall?
Roughly within the town, about 24 full-time, with various part-timers depending on the time of year.
And I'm going to ask you how your particular job has changed from the time you started until 2012. More complicated?
The biggest change are the additional filing requirements with the state and the federal offices, all the various reports that we're now required to file. Everything's done electronically now. The internet, there was no such thing as email when I started.
No.
But that's the biggest change, is the amount of paperwork required, reports required by the state.
Well, you had a wonderful ghost story of the town hall.
I'm very fortunate where I can work flexible hours for the town, and a lot of times I like to go in early in the morning in the summer so I can enjoy the afternoons, or I work very late depending on what's happening. And we notice there are strange noises within the town hall at certain times, and we've investigated them, and they're not air circulators coming on and off. They're not these miscellaneous noises. What they are, I firmly believe, are the ghosts from the cemetery in the back, and I do not fear them. I think they support what I do. They're there helping me. I've always said I have old Yankee blood going through my veins, and that's why they're happy with me. They're not trying to scare me.
That's wonderful. I love that. What are some of the things that you do in the town hall, I'm going to call nitty-gritty, that nobody else does or knows about? It's not a regulation or anything like that. But you mentioned a couple, one in dealing with the sprinkler system and another one dealing with the flagpole.
Well, there's things that go on, such as the state issues when the flag has to be at half-mast. Where is the wrench that lowers the flag, and who ultimately does that when? Sometimes it's me, James, who's in charge of the parade. You know, if he's available, he will take care of that.
But if he's not, James Brazy
from the town crew. But if not, I'll take care of that. I was going to use today as an example. Mm-hmm. I spent part of the morning upgrading the antivirus software on the senior director's computer. And then I spent some time trying to track down the certificate of title for a truck that was traded in for the highway department. Okay. Finding that we couldn't be found, we had to file for a replacement title. And also, what was the third unusual thing I did today? I can't even remember.
That's all right.
Submitting bids. I had to put the proposal out for bids for supplying electricity for next year.
Bids for electricity.
I sent them out to about a half a dozen different companies, and they will, within 2 weeks, submit bids to supply the town with electricity for the next year.
All right. What are some of the different kinds of meetings that you attend?
Well, the main meetings I attend are the Board of Finance meetings, the quarterly meetings, where we report quarterly the financial condition of the town to the Board of Finance. There's occasionally a Board of Selectmen's meetings, but there's more public at the Board of Selectmen's meetings. There's always the committee meetings. There's transfer station support, there's WPCA support, all the subcommittees, recreation, Grove, whenever they need or want me to report extras, the extras committees, whenever they want some information, I'm happy to attend those meetings. I don't attend them all, mm-hmm. but whenever they ask me to, I will go to those.
And these are usually night meetings?
For the most part, they're anywhere from 4:30 to 7:30, depending on the time. Yeah.
A full day.
Sometimes.
At times, yeah. Now, you started your own business. Your own business is?
Well, I'm a CPA. So when I was employed by the town, I thought what I would try to do is just to make some extra money on the side to start doing tax returns. And it's ballooned into pretty much a seasonal full-time job.
When did you open this business?
In 1994. I went from doing tax returns on my dining room table to converting an exterior building on my property to an office.
Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy doing the tax business?
Well, enjoy is an interesting word, but it's different. It's not mundane. It's something different that's seasonal. I don't do the same thing all year long, mm-hmm. so there is some change. So that's nice.
What is the work cycle? I mean, when are you busiest and when is it slacked?
Well, the busiest for me is during the end of the tax season when we're doing budgeting process, doing the new budget for the new fiscal year.
And when is that?
That's March, middle of March to middle of April. It gets busy again it'll get busy again for about another 2 weeks to finish the audit mm-hmm. for the previous fiscal year. And my slowest time is in November, usually.
Oh, good. I'm glad you have some downtime.
But even, you know, the summers, it's busy because we have the beginning and the end of the fiscal year, so that gets a little busy. So it's different things in different times of the year.
Anything that you'd like to add about the town hall or the your own business before we go on to other things?
Just to say that the building that I converted to my office was the building that my grandparents lived in when they built the house that I'm currently living in. I was fortunate enough to obtain the property years ago, and it's interesting that it was converted from a one-room home that two adults and two children lived in to a two-car garage to now an office. Exact same building.
What are the dimensions? Do you know?
Roughly 24 by 24, I would guess.
Two adults and two children.
And when it was that, there was there was a loft taking about half the space.
Now, you had an interesting story about the house that you live in now. Would you refer?
When we were looking at renovating the house that was here, it was so old that everything needed to be replaced, but it wasn't so old that we wanted to maintain and refurbish everything, so we decided to donate the house to the local fire company, and they performed drills and basically burned it down. We weren't able to tell everyone that we knew that's what we were going to do, and a very nice man who owned the Iron Masters Motel at the time, Hal Meredith, when he heard that our house burned down, had his daughter go up into their attic and search for her ex-husband's clothes, thinking I would need some clothes.
That was a very thoughtful thing.
Very, very nice thing to do. I felt bad that his daughter had to spend an hour or two in the attic, in a hot attic in the summer.
But it was a kind thought, a neighborly thought.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, you've got some strange noises in this new house, do you not?
Well, the thing about the new house is the old house had a furnace in the center of the house, as houses built during that time did, and there was a 3-foot by 3-foot grate in the center that would make a very distinct noise when you would walk over it. And occasionally we thought at night in that old house we would hear someone walking over that grate. Well, what's interesting is in the new house where that obviously it doesn't have that kind of heat, once in a blue moon in the middle of the night, I swear I hear that noise of someone walking across that grate because the house is on the same footprint.
But the Yankee blood will take care of it.
Yankee blood will take care of it.
Oh,
no worries.
Great. When you were growing up, I know you said that you used to run to school. What were some of the activities in the area, like Hotchkiss or the Woodland?
This property adjoins Hotchkiss School, which is a private school. And one of the advantages of growing up next to that school and knowing some of the faculty children is we had all of the athletic facilities available. we were able to enjoy the gymnasium, the soccer fields, the outdoor hockey rinks, and play sports. And that's how we spent our afternoons after or before doing homework. And the nice thing is you weren't doing the same thing all year long. Depending on the change of the seasons, you do different sports. And then also, because the woodland adjoined the Hoshka school property, there were various trails going over to other properties, which to some people seemed another section of town, but it wasn't very far at all because you were going through the woods as the crow flies.
You were doing cross lots.
Yeah, so we were able to visit other friends. Even though it seemed it was far away, we were able to walk. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do that today.
No.
I don't think parents would allow their children to go that far. Because we were in grade school, and we're talking, driving-wise, you're probably talking 4 or 5 miles. But as the crow flies, it's a mile and a half.
And I imagine a lot of those trails have now been infilled with brush.
Well, they're overgrown.
Overgrown at this point.
Yes.
Any recollections of the Methodist Church?
Just that, well, you mentioned trails. When I was a younger child attending Sunday school, the church would sponsor a few kids to go to the local camp, Camp Sloan, which was an overnight camp on Long Pond, which happens to be right behind my house. There are trails in the woods behind my house that we maintained. And it was probably a 20-minute walk through the woods. And what I would do for a few years as a younger child, staying at the camp, they would have open sessions on Saturday mornings where the campers could go to whatever art or athletic facility they wanted to for half the day. I used to come home and watch cartoons. It was just a 20-minute walk in the woods, woods that I grew up in, woods that the counselors at the camp could get lost in. It was very easy for me to do that.
Well, you pick your own activity.
That's right. That's
Why
right.
not? Do you remember anything about the Christmas parties or the Christmas pageants that's at church or at school?
Well, just the at the Methodist Church, I can remember that they had the Christmas pageants. I don't remember what I was, but I remember that they had them each year. Mm-hmm. And they used to have them in the used to practice in the building next to it, but the actual pageant used to be in the church, right in front of everyone.
Oh, sure, they still do. Anything about Halloween? Any memories of Halloween?
Oh boy, I can't remember. Did I tell you a story that I can't
remember? No, this is a new area.
No, Halloween was never very...
It wasn't a big deal.
It wasn't a big deal, no. No, because I think we were so spread out here. I can remember when I was younger, my mother used to take us to Millerton.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was very big over in Millerton, New York, for kids to go around the residences there. There's probably a half a dozen streets all lined up.
Yeah.
I can remember being very young going there. And I know now that they close off the streets in Lakeville.
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed the children to go along the Lakeview Avenue and
yeah.
along there.
All right. Now we're going to talk about civic activities, particularly SWASA. What do you do with SWASA?
Well, the thing about SWASA is there's a core group of people that have been volunteering for years, and they organize the whole shebang. And then they rely on volunteers just to show up either a day or two before, or the day of, or the days of the jumps to do certain tasks. And since I'm estimating about 1980, 1981, I would show up and be a measurer. And I don't know how many years ago, but I got promoted that you'd have to be, as you're looking at the hill, on the left side of the hill were the measurers, and on the right side were the chief measurers. And the measurers would yell their measurements over to the chief measurers, who would then radio them to the scorers, building down part of the hill. And eventually I got promoted over to be chief measurer. So, and I've been doing, and I just show up. It's someone they don't even have to tell me. I just see when the dates are. They know I'm going to show up. And a lot of the measurers, they just show up. There's very little communication ahead of time. And that's just one job that's done by someone showing up. There's cooks in the cook shack. There's volunteers that take money. There's people that pack the snow on the hill. And they just show up, and they do their job, and they disappear.
Has it changed a lot over the years as far as the jobs themselves, or is it still pretty basic?
It's still pretty basic. It hasn't changed at all. It really hasn't. The only thing that may have changed a little bit is they're making their own snow at the jumps, as opposed to trucking it in from parking lots, or even using the ice shavings from the local hockey rinks from the private schools to pack the snow jump, the ski jump.
I was talking with Jim Rutledge, and he used to be one of the ones that stomped the snow down. And he said he got promoted to the cook shack, and he was really happy with that one.
Yeah.
Anything that you'd like to add that we haven't covered?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything.
Well, there's always the second opportunity if you wish.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you very much.